I love Notions, and I'm guessing that you do too. Hey there, friend, it's Carolina Moore, your favorite sewing and quilting YouTuber and now podcaster, here with another episode.
So today on the podcast, we have Sherry Butler, and I can't tell you how long I've known Sherry. And Sherry, I also can't tell you exactly when we met or got to know each other. I just know we've been Facebook friends for a really long time, and I don't know what that initial moment that we met was. Do you remember?
I think it was at Quilt Market, but I don't remember which year, to be quite honest. In fact, my name is actually Shari, and people get it mixed up because usually it's like Sherry.
That's so funny. See, because we've been Facebook friends for so long.
Oh, I know. I never actually corrected people at the quote booths or anything, and Dan's like, why aren't you correcting people? I'm like, because it's just not who I am, you know?
It's Shari. Sorry, Shari. I screwed that up.
I grew up with that as a kid forever.
I'm Carolina, and my family calls me Caroline because that's the nickname of Carolina in Dutch. But Caroline, hey you, that girl, I answer to all of them, and I don't usually correct people. Yep. And Carolina, I answer to Carolina too. And if I know that someone has to write my name or look it up on a list, I intentionally mispronounce my name. I say, oh, it's Carolina Moore, as they're like looking it up on the list. It's because they can find it easier. And then someone with me says, wait, do you pronounce your name Carolina? No, I pronounce it Carolina. I'm just trying to help them find it on the list. So
you also grew up with that as well.
Very relatable. So Shari, I must have been at a quilt market probably, gosh, like 7-8 years ago, something like that, I would think. And because you've been in the industry a while, but let's go like way back to your origin story of how you got started in quilting, like how you found quilting or how quilting found you.
So I never was really interested in sewing or quilting when I was growing up. And when I got married, probably when I was 27, I decided that I kind of wanted to try. And so we went and bought my first machine, which is a Pfaff. I think it's Pfaff. And I wasn't perfect at it. I'll be honest. I wasn't very patient with it. But I was also into digital scrapbooking. And so I was designing for that. And I don't know. I love the design part more, if I want to say that, versus the start of quilting. But as I got to know certain people in the industry, it made me feel like more compelled to learn the craft and to be better at it. So is all my stitches always perfect? No, but I try dang hard to do my best and be better every time.
Well, I mean, does a perfect quilt keep you warmer than an imperfect quilt?
No, and that's what I think is like, you can't, don't let perfection stop you from anything.
Sure. Like all the points matching doesn't mean that there's more love in that quilt.
No, because the time that you put into it, even when you're learning, all those stitches are just filled with love. And that person who gets that quilt will cherish it no matter what.
I 100% agree. So you found quilting, but it sounds like fairly early on you started getting into the industry side of quilting.
Yes. Yeah, so back in 2008, I went down to Christensen Wholesale. And I was talking to Gina because I was actually going to make stuff for Etsy to sell. And I talked to Brett, the owner, and I told him that I did digital scrapbooking, but like designs, and he wanted to see what those were. And so he said, well, come in, I think in like a day or so. And I went down there with my portfolio and I was already getting a line for the next quilt market.
Wow, that was fast.
It was very fast. Very scary, but I quickly got jumped into doing fabric designing, which I absolutely loved. Like I loved doing that. And I loved the fabric designers I got to meet and be with. I loved working with Riley Blake. I think towards the end of what I was doing, I kind of got burned out on that, but I was also going through quite a few miscarriages at that time.
Oh, that's so difficult.
So it was like emotions with infertility, and it just got a lot. And I was making quite a bit of children's fabric lines. Mm. So it was hard, but I still put my love into it, and I did what I could, but it was hard.
I can't imagine. My heart goes out to the Shari of that time who was struggling with this and being faced with that. You're going to work and you can't escape.
But it made me who I am.
Sure.
And it helped me to develop something that I wanted to help bring joy to others, that brought me out of darkness.
Now, did you have family at that time with little ones that you were able to like have the joy of making for them?
My nieces and nephews, I absolutely did my best in trying to spoil them, and even neighbor kids. I always showed them love. It just was always a little bit bittersweet and hard sometimes when you have empty arms, you want those arms filled with love.
Yeah, I can't imagine. We're going to jump ahead a little bit for anyone who, like the listeners, to know that like this didn't stay your story.
No. Nope, it didn't stay my story at all.
Because you have your rainbow baby.
I do. I was able to get Grayson here, and he was born in March 5th, 2021. And he was a blessing to our family at that time. And he's still much a blessing to us. Like, we love him, and we are excited that, I mean, it brings a lot of creative into me. And I also get a lot tired of working mom. Oh, warn me about that.
Well, so in the early years, they are physically exhausting. They take a lot of your physical energy. And as they get older, it's less physical energy and a lot more mental energy that they take.
Don't tell me that.
Well, you wanted to be warned.
Okay, yes, you are warning me, which I'm grateful for, because I mean, I'm learning motherhood, and it's great. And I don't regret having our son and having his light in our home.
So you were designing fabric and making some quilts. Were you doing quilt patterns at that time as well?
I did. I did a few quilt patterns. I wasn't doing quilt patterns heavily until Wistful Winds came out. And my other few lines that start trickling out, that's where I put more supporting patterns to that. Because at first, I didn't really market myself as much as a fabric designer. I know that's crazy, but I was also doing other work as well. So I'm getting better at that.
There is a whole like thread that I've seen in having these different conversations, especially with women, of the like self-promotion. We've been taught that it's supposed to feel icky. And so it does, but it shouldn't, and it doesn't need to, because people want to know about these things. They want to know all the cool things. And how are they going to know the cool things if we don't tell them the cool things?
That is correct. And I think part of me was, I think my confidence was going down through the miscarriages I had. And so when Wistful Winds came out, I actually had a personal trainer who was working with me. So I was working on my health to lose the weight, to get feeling better so that we could try again, but I wanted to try naturally. That's the other cool part about Grayson, is he came natural. It wasn't through IVF or anything like that. And so she helped give me that self-confidence back. That's why I started creating the patterns with it. And I felt like I could actually do more.
That's awesome. No, and
So the health journey / you know, recovery, mental health type stuff that I was going through.
Well, it's all woven together for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So at some point you said, I'm going to design this notion. Like, what was the thread that got you started?
Okay. So it wasn't necessarily, am I going to create this notion? I actually didn't have a ton of money at that time, because I put everything into IVF, whatever. And with all the failed miscarriages, like, I didn't have a ton of money at that time to make a gift for my design director at Riley Blake, and also for Cindy. the other owner. And so I created Bindi Babies, and Gina fell in love with it. And she's like, you need to sell these. And in fact, her friend and my friend, Juana Burgess, said, you should call them Bindi Babies. I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't know about this. Like, you know, it's cute, but I wasn't necessarily going to put that out into the world, right?
And so then step back a second and tell us, what is a binding baby? Explain that for anyone who hasn't seen a binding baby before.
So a binding baby basically it's on a spool with a character head on the spool, and I created legs for it so that it could wrap the binding around, and they can actually take that binding either on the spindle or machine or on a flower spindle base that we have, and we also have a heart base now, that they could attach their binding onto their quilt without having it go all over the floor, in their lap, being torn, you know. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much easier and smoother.
So it is both adorable and useful in that it's a way to wrap up your binding to keep it off the floor and out of the way, but it also looks really cute. And if you're not using your binding right away, it's also a cute way to store your binding until you're ready to attach your binding to your quilt.
Yes, it can store it. I forgot that part. Yes, it can store your binding. So we basically put cute plus fun equals functional, because we wanted to bring the joy back into the quilter sewing room.
I love that, because we all have cute little tchotchkes around our sewing room. And I definitely have rolled up binding ends that I'll probably use for either mini quilts or that I'll piece together to make a scrappy binding at some point. And so a place to store that until that time comes, but also looks cute at the same time, is so clever.
It's fun. And so I didn't realize it was going to become like as popular as it was. So when I was debuting Wistful Winds, the night before, I actually hand painted like 6 of them to put on the shelf in my booth. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like kept asking about them. And I got approached by Fat Pour Shop. So, well, how does it hold the binding? And at that point, we did not have the legs at that point. And mm-hmm. So we took it home, we fixed that problem, and we came back and they wanted to order right then. But we had to like get everything in place. And so we started to hand make them in August 2016. And we launched the website at the end of August. But we didn't do wholesale yet, because we were trying to figure all of this out. And then we got some people asking about it for wholesale, and we had to act quick. We actually tried China over. It just didn't really work out for us. Like, we had, when we got our quality back, there were some that were quality, and then there were some we had to like discount or throw away. Does that make sense?
So the initial like gifts that you gave were hand painted that you made yourself.
Correct.
And then you started producing them, I'm assuming like in a garage or in an office at your house. Did you then like find someone else to produce them for you, so you weren't spending your days hand painting little faces on heads and attaching them to little spools?
So we did. We tried China. We got those back at the end of 2017. We got our first shipment. And we decided we weren't going to return back to China. And so I quickly found a local shop to cut me into the spools from that point forward. So our spools are actually designed by us, and they're manufactured only for us. And now we're back to hand painting them.
When you say we're back to hand painting them, does that mean you, or do you have a team that helps you?
My husband and me. Well, my husband paints the spools, and then he'll connect everything. And then I've been hand painting the faces and dotting them. I'm actually working on hiring some local moms or local young women to want to come help me take them by per piece, so I can get some of that off my plate.
That sounds like a lot of work, hand painting all these cute little faces.
It is. But again, the comments, like when you get back from a customer that they're just so happy that this notion is the cutest thing ever, but I didn't know I needed it until I needed it. You know, they didn't know exactly they would buy it. They didn't know how it was. And then when I had my, and I need to update more videos, don't get me wrong, I need to do more tutorials. But when I had, they saw my YouTube video of how it actually worked, it just magically helped them to learn how to use them. And they told me they find out that the binding is just so much easier and smoother going on than without it.
I love that. And I'll definitely link to the YouTube video in the show notes for the podcast. But also, what we as quilters are doing is hand making things. And we're using tools that were designed by other makers. And some of those tools are then manufactured somewhere. And that's fine. But I love that this is, it's also a handmade tool that helps us in our handmade process. It's that connection again.
It is. And we want to still keep it in the USA. We might try another version with a different country. We are just not sure yet how we want to go about that. I just need to get the hiring in place. And that's where I kind of get stuck. And we don't need to go into that. But
no, that's totally
I'm
okay.
I'm trying to be people. It just didn't work out.
Oh. Staffing is a whole nother challenge in running a quilty business. No one trained us to how to be a boss. Like, how do you be a boss? I don't know. I still don't know. Maybe one day I'll figure it out.
Well, my dad was an entrepreneur. He actually owned Preston Lumber Company in Preston, Idaho. And watching him do his thing, like, I never knew as a kid how much work his job was, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing a glimpse of like, oh my, he had probably 30 employees. Mm-hmm. Over time, different ones. And it's insane what he had to go through. And I have a lot of respect for entrepreneurs that have their own, you know, company. But I also have a lot of respect for consumers who trust us in making these binding babies so that we can bring them joy and help their binding ease.
Absolutely. Now, I know you took a little bit of time after you had Grayson to enjoy that motherhood, but it's
actually still painting. I mean, I took probably a month and a half off. I had some help painting.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and a few other friends, but because I had severe preeclampsia. So with Grayson, it's a little bit traumatic, but that's why I just want to get things in place because we actually want to try again.
Oh, that's exciting. Like Grayson could be a big brother. That'd be cool.
We don't want him to be the only kid. So
I don't know. I have three siblings. I wouldn't have minded if my parents made. No, I love my brothers. It's fine.
Oh, so you're the only girl. Okay.
I am the only girl. I have an older brother and two younger brothers. But yeah, I'm the only girl, but not the only child. So
yeah, we don't want to be the only child. So.
I think it's one of those like people who are only children. Some of them are like happy to be only children, but some of them wish they would have had siblings. And then some of us who have siblings, like some were happy to have siblings. And sometimes it's like, you know what? If I was like, it was just me, it might've been different. I mean, for sure it would have been different, but it might've been, you know, just fine. So you're cranking out binding babies. Are you still working on pattern design or any of the other projects, or is it really focused on making these cute little faces?
I'm actually going to be stepping back into doing some pattern design. I'm partnering up with a few ladies and we're doing a jelly roll day where we will have like a Zoom call. And if they buy like their ticket, which is buying the 5 patterns, and we kind of go over the patterns with them, then we just have like we could talk and quilt with them as they're working on that project. Like if they want to work on one of the quilts or if they want to work on a different project, that's going to be kind of fun. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's called the jelly roll bash, I think.
Yes. We'll make sure to link to that in the show notes as well, because that sounds super fun. So you're doing some pattern design. Do you have other plans, things coming up?
I do. I'm going to also work on some individual blocks, and I'm working on a pineapple block that will have a enamel pin, and also I've been doing some printed on demand t-shirts because I love to design, but I don't want to stock the t-shirts. So those ship out separate, but I kind of wanted to create something just fun and do theme based that way. So more will be coming on that. And then we're gearing up for the next little bit because we know that Christmas is coming up and people are going to want to get Christmas gifts.
Yes, obviously the first purpose or the first intent of a binding baby was as gifts. I mean, yes, to hold binding, but those first few were gifts. So clearly they make amazing gifts for quilty friends, for a family that quilts, for your guild friends, or for like a holiday swap within a guild. Like those are all fun. Now, do you ever get requests to make custom faces? Like someone who has green eyes and brown hair and maybe a dimple, kind of like me?
We do actually do customs. I don't want to do copyrighted stuff. So people have asked before if I would do like Harry Potter or Disney, and I just don't feel that that's right until I get a license for them.
Sure.
Like, I don't see that happening anytime soon. So if it's a custom about like personal to them, then I go through that. And if it works, then I will accept that order. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like, yeah, green eyes, dimpled. I'd have to think of how to do that. Never thought of doing a dimple there, but we'll work on it.
Yeah, I'm lopsided. I have a single dimple on one side of my face.
We're actually also thinking about doing some custom colors on our flower spindles as well.
Oh, that's fun. Yep, for people who have favorite colors or like branding colors that they're really connected to.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also have the ruler roundup. Have I told you about that?
You have not told me about the ruler roundup. Please do.
So my sister and brother-in-law came up with this idea, and they created our design of the ruler roundups. And so they have slots for your rulers that are domestic. So we tried doing them for long arm. It just didn't really sell as well. I mean, we do have a few that we can sell on the website that are still left, but they will hold like the domestic rulers and then on the flat bottom part. And then the top part, you can actually hold your large rulers that will overhang a little bit. So it's been hugely popular. And I don't think it gets as much shine as the Binding Babies. And I'd like to, you know, let people know that we have a solid storage area for you to have a ruler roundup on your desk or cutting table.
Oh, yeah. And they come in all kinds of fun colors.
They do. And we have three colors right now, but we thought about, I don't know if we'll offer custom on that yet. That's something I have to talk to my husband about. But you get two of them. You can even put them as bookends, and then you have your books or patterns, and you can store like as a project based as well.
Oh, that's so smart.
People have asked us about if we are going to have anything for other type of storage, and we're actually thinking about it. I don't think that'll be this year.
Yes, the months are flying fast on the calendar this year, for sure.
Yes. And we have to think of what we could add that could go with the ruler roundup, but we're not there to apply anything to that yet. So I just wanted to shout out the ruler roundups and shout out to my sister and brother-in-law because they are so creative.
Yeah, I love that this puts the rulers like right there on your table. It doesn't take a lot of space, so you can have it right there by your cutting mat. So, I mean, I'm assuming that a lot of people are like this, that you cut some things with a ruler and then you set it down and then you move some fabric and then you move stack up quilt blocks and then you need to go cut again. And where's my ruler?
Correct. I mean, it just helps with that. Like, it's steady enough. It's not flimsy. It doesn't tip over. So why not? And people ask about the size. They think it's big, but really it's not. The size dimensions are on the website, but it doesn't really take a large footprint.
Yeah, it says 5.5 wide by 6 inches tall by 11¾ in length with 7 slots for rulers.
Thank you.
I just happen to have magical things at my fingertips.
And right? I actually put like other rulers in between the slots. And so it can, I maximize it when I'm using it. So
that makes total sense.
So I maximize my space as much as I can.
Well, we all have our favorite rulers, you know, like a square up ruler and a quick trim ruler and, you know, I mean, a box bag template, right? These are the ones that we want to have handy all the time.
Yes. I also like the block lock because like when you're doing half square triangles, mm-hmm. you make it so simple.
Yes. Yep. And to be able to find those so they're not buried on like the pegs on a pegboard.
Correct.
Well, I will make sure that we have links to all of these things in the show notes, which will be at ilovenotions.com. Is there anything else that we want to be sure to mention before we close out the show for today?
I just want everyone to know that I just want to bring joy into your life if I can. Like anything I create, I just want to spark joy. Because when I was in that dark place, I don't want people to be there. I want them to find that joy in their craft and in their life and their home. Because that's where the center is. Like, and when you have kids in your quilting room and then the Bindy Baby, I mean, they're not toys. We have to disclaim that they are not toys, but they are so fun for the kids just to kind of play with the fabric and that texture. It helps them to learn and grow. Grayson loves doing that. And I let him do that. Like he'll come and stack my jelly rolls over and over on my shelf because, and it teaches them that texture, that creativity. And when I quilt, I let him in the room because I want him to see how things work.
Yes. I love that. Well, where can everyone find you online?
So they can find me at my website. It's www.dohikydesigns.com. They can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, which I feel like they made that for quilters.
Right. That's the new like Twitter. The new Twitter is called Threads. Yes.
Correct. And that's at Doohickey Designs, DoHikeyDesigns. Just make sure it doesn't autocorrect the C in there. I know we made it a little, so it's like Doohikey. And then I'm also on YouTube. I will be redoing a new tutorial on that because that's from like Quilt Market years ago. So I'll try to send you a link soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get that added into the show notes as well. Well, Shari, it's been so fun hanging out with you today. Thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And I just love you. I really do.
Oh, right back at you. Friends, that's our episode for today. I hope you loved it as much as I loved having this conversation. Remember that you can find all the details that we talked about in the show notes, and those are all at ilovenotions.com. And make sure to leave this podcast a review in your favorite podcasting app. Leaving it a review will help the podcast algorithm show this podcast to other people who love Notions just as much as we do. Friends, that's all I have for you today, but I will see you right here real soon. Bye for now.